Now, if you were listening to my show last Wednesday, you would have heard me interviewing Graham McCormack, the ex-MMA fighter who had been battling with mental health since the age of 7. And it's quite timely that we sort of stay in that realm of mental health, because a men's positive living group is being established in Middleton in the month of May. There is going to be an open evening on Friday the 3rd of May, 7:30 to 9, in the My Place facility in Middleton, just on the start of the Mill Road. But who is behind it all and what's it all about? We're going to find out a little bit more now, because I've been joined in studio by psychoanalytical psychotherapist Tom Conlon, and a guest of his and guest of ours is Mark. And firstly, I want to welcome both to the studio. Tom and Mark, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Harry.
Thank you.
Tom, I'm going to begin with you first. You're a psychoanalytical psychotherapist. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of this, what is a psychoanalytical psychotherapist?
Okay, well, that's a...
It sounds scary.
Well, what it is someone that listens to what you have to say in a particular way. So, you know, a therapist like that is actually someone that listens to language and gaps in language. And, you know, a lot of times that what's going on for a person is actually in what they say. So it's a particular way of listening.
So I suppose, in a sense, it's you're listening not so much for what they're saying, but what they're not saying.
Oftentimes that's behind it as well. So someone comes and they talk out what they know about, but it's those are the things that are happening on the edges of it that sometimes what's not being said is equally as important.
Now, Tom, you've been working in this area for quite a considerable amount of time. Yep. I know we spoke off air that you worked in a prison in Dublin.
Yep.
In the last number of years, have you seen a more sort of an openness to talk about, you know, mental health or issues that men are suffering from? Are they tending to open up more now, or are we still a way to go?
All I know in my clinic that, you know, the world comes to it in terms of anxiety and depression. You know, suicide has been mentioned as well. You know, in my clinic, that's what actually comes. People come and they talk about that. More openness, yeah. And I suppose that with the group that's just finished, the men's group that was finished in Middleton was pretty much in that way. Was it possible to get a group of men together and actually open up and talk about it collectively? You know, so I suppose that I'm discovering that it happens in the one-to-one session, but also effectively in the group context as well.
I suppose it's fair to say, Tom, that men, by their nature, they're conditioned to be sort of macho. Uh-huh. And it's not cool to be even admitting that you have emotions or feelings, let alone talk about them.
Well, absolutely. I think that word, Mark and I were talking about this, about vulnerability. In other words, that you make yourself vulnerable, and is it possible to do that? And how will you be received when you do that? And again, you know, Mark knows what actually went on in the group really around that. And I think that's the test of it. Like, if we open up and make ourselves vulnerable, will be heard and protected. That's the work.
And Tom, we were talking off air, and you made the point, you know, that whilst it's good to talk, what's more important is for somebody to be listened to. And that's a nice little cue to introduce Mark and to welcome Mark to the program, because Mark, you took part in the most recent session, this living group of meeting with fellow men and sharing your issues and listening to their issues. Mm-hmm. You come from the city of Derry.
You're
born in Donegal.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to going along to one of these groups.
Okay. Well, I came to Cork to study. I'm actually studying at UCC, and I'm doing youth and community work. And I originally came down the path of wanting to be a counsellor. Tom was mentioning suicide. I know firsthand because I had a relative who took his own life. And that forced me to deal with a lot of the issues I'd be dealing with in my life. And it's funny you mentioned that Graham was talking about seven. Seven for me would have been kind of a turning point. That probably was when I realised something wasn't right within me. And I battled depression most of my adult life, but I wasn't properly diagnosed until 4 years ago. So I came to Cork because I felt I needed to get out of Derry. I felt trapped. I just felt something needed to change. And so I came down, and I just happened to I saw an advert for Tom's group on Facebook, and when I came down here, Tom mentioned about isolation, I was very conscious of being isolated because I was coming down here. I'm in my 30s, making a big change, making a big life change. And coming back to school was stressful, scary. And I thought, you know something, I need to reach out to other people. I need to reach out to people who maybe might understand what I'm going through. And I've been involved with other support groups before, and they've kept me alive. They really have. You talk about, people talk about, I wasn't at the point where I really wanted to end my life. I just didn't want to live anymore. And I would, each night I would go to bed and I'd pray that I wouldn't wake up. But support groups, especially support groups where you could be open and you could be honest, that was the first time I actually felt listened to. And the more listened to I was, the more I started to realise that I actually had a voice. And now that I have that voice, I feel responsible in some ways to use that voice, because there's a lot of men out there who maybe can't express themselves. There may be men who can't talk about how they're feeling. There may be men who feel that they shouldn't be talking about how they're feeling. And I would be standing up and saying that for those men, you know, it's not wrong to feel bad. It's not wrong to feel vulnerable. It's okay not to feel okay. It's okay to talk about what's going on. It's okay to come together. It's okay to be vulnerable.
I think that's interesting because, look, as a society, Mark, we're conditioned, particularly as men, you know, not to express yourself, to put other people before yourself. Now, you mentioned there a little bit earlier that the age of 7 is when you started to experience depression. Is there any way that you can describe what depression was for you? I mean, unconscious, it can be different for for everybody.
Well, I suppose to put it in pop culture terms, I'm a big comic book fan. I grew up idolizing Spider-Man. And Spider-Man and the Hulk were two that I always related to. Hulk, particularly because that anger, and a large part of depression is anger. And the problem you have is that you don't know how to express it. So you express it, you turn it inwards, and that's really what happens. And so for me, the depression, there's a character in Venom, and it's like a black goo, and that's wrapped around you. And for most of my adult life, there was a little part inside of me where I was pushing down constantly. Now, I thought that was the depression. I thought that was the black goo inside of me stuck, and I was doing everything I could to suppress that. What I actually realized over time was that that was me inside of there, and what was on top of me was the black goo. Depression's a very clever illness. It has you absolutely convinced that there's nothing wrong with you, and is you absolutely convinced that everything it's saying is right. And it's only when you have those breakthrough moments that you realise that it's been lying to you all those years.
And would you have found, Mark, that, you know, some people might have picked up that there was something wrong, and if they came to you and said, well, I think you should go and talk to somebody, that you'd almost repel them at the idea? Because as far as you were concerned, well, there's nothing wrong. Or were you always aware?
I've always had a strong level of self-awareness, and that's something that didn't sit well with me, especially as a younger man. I always felt very different, and I did feel I felt very isolated, and I thought the isolation was because there was something wrong with me. But there wasn't anything wrong with me. I just simply was sort of on a different frequency from people around me. I was just into different things. I thought differently. I acted differently. I talked differently. I grew up around adults, so I'd always been.
You were older, really, up here than your age would suggest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always felt more comfortable around adults.
I get that.
So I was never really encouraged to talk to anybody because it just wasn't done. And I never thought there was anything wrong. I just thought, this is just the way people are. You know, it's normal to feel unhappy.
That's very interesting. And Tom, I'm going to bring you in here. You know, people, they're almost conditioned not to talk about their feelings or express their feelings. I'd like to think as a society we're moving beyond that, but it still exists today. Now, talk to me about these sessions that you've been having.
Okay.
What are they like? What can people experience from them?
Okay. So it's a very simple structure. So the meeting starts at a certain time and it ends at a certain time, and that's pretty religious around that. And the other thing is that it's ensuring that people have a chance to speak in the group and be listened to. So my job a lot of the time is making sure that happened, that everybody had a chance to speak and there was enough time for everybody to speak. And I think it gets into a pattern after a while where people get used to this, you know, and that in the middle of it all, Mark will give his take on this one, but people contribute then. Someone says something and people actually work around what's been said in the group, you know. So there's a sort of a compassion, I think, really. There's an understanding that around, the what a person is talking about. And frequently what actually happens is someone will be talking about something. So someone might be talking about depression, for example. Another member of the group says, God, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, so there was a number of times that actually happened. So someone speaking, but they're also evoking something in other people. You know, there was questions that someone might have and were being answered by the person that was speaking. You know, so it's as simple as that, really. It's a regular session, a time to speak and time to be listened to. You know, it's a very simple structure, really, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's kind of what Graham was getting at last week as well. It was about expressing yourself, but in a forum where you were going to be listened to. So, Mark, I'm going to come back to you. You arrived into this group. I don't know how many people were there. They were all men, obviously. I don't know what the age variation was like. But how did you feel joining with this group for the first time, and what sort of a journey did you take with them?
Initially, it was a strange feeling. I didn't really know what to expect. Having experienced support groups before, I thought it would follow a similar pattern, but it didn't. And it was about 3 or 4 weeks in, and I was thinking to myself, am I getting anything out of this? And it was only then that, as I started to feel more comfortable in the group and we started to open up with each other and we were sharing a lot of different things. And the thing is, a lot of us understood what each other was going through. Now, there's some members of the group who they're dealing with particular conditions, and I'll never understand what that feels like. But I can understand what it's like to be in a place where you feel alone and you feel hurt. And that's where the commonality was. It was that these guys understand, and the best thing about it was nobody was judging me. Nobody had any expectations of me, and I had no expectations on them. And we actually started, we really did bond, and we did start to form a bond. And it's something that it's hard to describe unless you've been in situations like that. There's a real sense of camaraderie, and it's a feeling that these guys get what I'm talking about, you know. And they don't have any expectations of me. They're not going to put me down for saying a certain thing, or they're not going to
laugh at you.
Well, there were a lot of laughs. We did have a lot of people tend to expect that groups like this would be very humdrum and very morose,
somber and tearful.
We would laugh. We would poke fun at each other. We'd take the mick out of one another. But it was coming from a place of genuine. You know, there was genuine feelings, and you got the feeling when you said something. And I mean, we have a group chat, and guys would put things in the group chat, and you know, we'd say, you know, these guys actually care about my well-being. These guys actually aren't paying, they're not paying lip service. They actually do mean it.
So I suppose in every essence, Mark, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you went into that group, Spider-Man and Venom were left outside the door. It was just you, and they were them. You were all individuals, but you all had that collective thing in common. I won't say call it a thing, but you were collectively together, yeah, stronger together, working together on your individual, where you'd come from your individual lives, but together,
yeah,
you were on a journey.
I suppose we were all alone together, and then we came together. Spider-Man and Venom, they did follow me in a couple of times.
Did they?
Yeah, and then as the weeks went on, they less and less. I think it's more I found the courage to actually just allow myself to come in. That's been a big part of my journey over these past maybe 5-6 years, has been just discovering me and getting back in touch with me. And again, it's going back to that seven-year-old boy is still inside of me. And he's crying out for a hug. And I'm at a stage now where I've done a lot of work on myself, and I can go now and give him that hug and give him that reassurance, and just I can take his hand and say,
You're learning to discard the fear.
Yeah.
And embrace that 7-year-old and say, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's absolutely inspirational. Tom, I'm going to bring you in again here. For anybody that's listening right now, and I mean, Mark's story is amazing, it's inspiring, but I'm sure it's possibly replicated with a lot of people who are tuned in who are going through something similar and they're just afraid. This idea of going to see the counsellor or the psychologist, oh my goodness me, I remember the first time I was going to see a psychologist, I was expecting white coats, and it was far from it. I'm thinking this is going to be possibly the first day of the rest of their lives. So for anybody that's listening, Tom, what are you going to say to them right now to come along to my place on Friday the 3rd of May and check it all out and take that first step?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty much what Mark has already said about not being judged. It's the opportunity to speak and not being judged. And I think that's a very rare experience to have that, like where you won't be. And Mark has said it exactly. That's what his experience was. And that's the offer, essentially, is that come and speak. And, you know, there's a possibility that you'll be heard and you won't be judged. So that's the environment that is provided in this group, you know, and I think it's my job to make sure that actually happens as well. But really it's that way, is that, you know, stuff, and I've had situations out of my own work where people might be sitting on a secret for 30, 40, 50 years, and they come in to talk about it, and I encourage people, listen, I'm not going to judge you, you know. So, and it's very much the spirit of the group is not be judged. Like, you know, that we're not here to do that. It's something just be heard and have it said, you know, and people share with what.
And that's the important thing to say, Tom, because you've had so much experience. Nothing is going to shock you. You've heard it all before. And that's the thing that people need to understand. You're not going to be judged. You're not there to be judged. You're there to share your story in an environment where you're going to be listened and understood.
Understood. And I think the important thing is that very early on the group, what we did was we set rules with regard to confidentiality. Okay. In other words, when, you know, stuff would eventually be said and that it would be confidential. And Mark, you can talk to that, I suspect. But, yeah, you know, the group actually agreed what that was right from the off, as to, you know, that in other words, that eventually something would be said and it might be difficult. But and for people to feel, you know, that it was protected, that it was a safe environment and we should do that. And
I'd say that was important, Mark, to understand that there was confidentiality built into all of this.
Yeah.
So no matter what you said, it was staying in the group.
Yeah. Well, whenever things would be said that were difficult, they would sit in the group. And because the group was a safe space, because the bond formed, there was a very strong bond that formed between us, it didn't actually feel such a bad place to let things like that out. I mean, one of the key components of any group like that is trust. And knowing that what you say is not going to be broadcast or even used against you. And that would have been, for me, that would have been a big reluctance to talk, was that I was always afraid of, well, how are people going to view me? And is this information going to be used against me? Because that had been my experience growing up.
Are people going to make fun of you? Are people going to call you names? Or
and that, yeah, that vulnerability, yeah, was used as a stick to beat me with. And eventually, because other people used it, I eventually started using it on myself. And that's where the depression came in. And it would convince you that you had to pick up this rod and beat yourself with it.
Now, Mark, tell me, you're in UCC. Mm-hmm. What are you studying?
I'm doing a bachelor's in youth and community work.
Wow. And what is the long-term goal? Where do you see yourself next year or 5 years? You know, we don't have a crystal ball. But.
Well, next, I can say where I will be next year. I'll be I'm in work placement. I'm in Ballincollig, actually. And I'm in the Family Resource Centre there. And I'm helping set up a youth club. And I'm finding that fantastic. Originally, when I set out on this road, I wanted to work with adults. I came to the realization that I actually wanted to work with younger people. And for me, you know, through the voluntary work I do, I get to work with kids. And a lot of it's just about being that one good adult, being that positive role model. And a large part of that is me doing the work on myself. And there's no point in me telling a young man, you know, you should talk to someone about this if I'm not willing to talk about what I'm going through. So I think because I've been through a journey that maybe a lot of young people are going through, I can say to them, or I can show them, rather not tell them, because someone said to me, don't tell a young person how to be a young person. They know better than anybody how to do that. Show them what a caring, responsible adult is. And that's all I try to do.
No, wow.
Make mistakes, and I'm human, and a big part of what I've been learning is allowing myself space to be human. And I think if I can do that, then I can role model that to younger people.
Fantastic. Inspiring. I know I'm gone over time, but you know what, I don't care. I can get into trouble, they can complain about me. Tom, I'm going to leave one of the last words to you. If people want to come along to this, where do they find the information?
Facebook or Eventbrite. There's a sign up on Eventbrite. So, you know, Tom Conlon, that's TomConlon. And I have a website as well under the same name. So all those routes should get you there eventually, you know. Yeah.
And this initial open evening is on Friday the 3rd of May,
half
7 to 9,
yeah.
In the My Place facility in Middleton. And for anybody that's listening right now, you know, as Mark has said, and Thomas said, it's a place of welcome. You're not going to be judged, but you will be listened to and you will be understood. Mark, I'm going to let the last word with you. You spoke a little bit about Spider-Man and Venom. There's a small matter of a Marvel movie coming out very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers, are you a fan?
I am indeed.
Good man you are. Will you be going along to it?
Hopefully. I have a ritual with my young brother. We would go together.
I like it. Have you seen Captain Marvel?
I have.
Ah, you see, we're going to get on great. Lads, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come in. I know I'm after running over time. That doesn't matter. Keep us updated. And if there's anything else that we can do into the future, we'll put a podcast of this interview up as well with the correct links to let people know. But just a reminder, Friday the 3rd of May from 7:30 to 9 in the evening at the My Place facility in Middleton. That's just off the roundabout, swinging left for the Mill Road, this location of the old fire station. And, you know, for any person, any man out there, it could be the beginning of the rest of your life.